Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
My first job out of seminary, I wasn't paid very much. We got housing, although we got the building that had been condemned.
They're like, welcome to the church. Yeah. We're so glad. We value your work so much.
You get the condemned building, yes.
My guest, Blair Pogue, is a longtime former Episcopal priest who now works for the Bishop of the Episcopal Church in Minnesota, providing support to churches across the state. For 16 years, up until last year, she was the rector, also known as priest, of St. Matthew's Episcopal Church in St. Paul, where she led a congregation of around 100 people. She helped manage the finances of the church, which meant encouraging people to be generous, aka donate money or tithe, sometimes 10% or more of their income. I'm so curious to talk to her about the economics of the church and how religion mixes with money. I'm Maya Lau, and this is Other People's Pockets, the show where I ask people how much they make and how their finances work, so the questions we all have about money can be a little bit less of a mystery. Blair, welcome to Other People's Pockets.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
So who are you?
I am an Episcopal priest. I've been ordained for 22 years. And before that, I worked in politics and public policy in Washington, D.C., and also went to grad school studying colonial history at William & Mary for 6 years. So kind of a professional student on the side. But for a number of years, I worked in parish ministry in very different ministry contexts. And now I get to work with the bishop traveling all over Minnesota and try to help people learn how to live their faith in daily life through simple spiritual practices. And also I'm trying to get people in churches to think outside the box. So I'm trying to get people to do things like start a yoga church or a dog park church, or I know of an actual tattoo parlor church in Florida, but
oh, wow.
Who knows if Minnesota Episcopalians will do that. But anyway, I am just trying to get people to think outside the box, because the ways that we have worshiped and the ways that we have done things are really not speaking to new generations.
Have you ever publicly talked about your finances before?
I have, because money always felt like one of those taboo subjects, just like politics. But it felt really important to talk about money and to talk about the spiritual practice of generosity and how central that is to most faiths, actually. I remember one fall when we were talking about our stewardship campaign, I let the congregation know that my husband and I were all in, and the giving went up significantly that year. I think just a lot of people are curious about financial generosity, what to give nonprofits that you believe in the community, how to really put your money where your values are. And so I thought it was really important and healthy for my faith community to be talking about money.
And so you've talked with your parishioners about like exactly how much money you make and stuff?
They actually knew how much I made, both when I was in the parish. My salary was published annually in the report that went out to all church members. All staff members' salaries and benefits went out. And now on the bishop's staff, everyone in the Diocese of Minnesota and probably anybody else who wants to see my salary and benefits knows exactly what I make.
I did look actually at your last church, St. Matthew's, one of the annual reports. And similar to basically all companies and nonprofits, the by far the largest percentage of their money goes to salaries. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is there any tension of like, be spiritual, but also like, give me money so that I can make money? How do you determine all of that?
I'm really glad you asked. So to me, a church budget is always a theological document, as it says a lot about that faith community and its priorities, as well as, you know, just needing to pay the bills. St. Matthew's, St. Paul is such an incredibly generous group of people. And for a while, we were giving more away, but in some ways that we were just like money was kind of just passing through the church and getting handed on to various nonprofits we had relationships with. But when I did the math, I saw that our community was actually most generous in people's daily lives. So as they lived generous lives as followers of Jesus in their workplaces, in the places they volunteered, in their communities, that was where we were actually having the greatest impact as a faith community. So I kind of pivoted and we became an institution that focused on equipping people to live their faith in daily life through everything we face as humans in our daily lives. And we, the staff, spent our efforts apprenticing them into simple spiritual practices that would help to make them more compassionate, more empathetic, more generous, more hospitable, more aware of what was going on in the cities and their surrounding communities.
So, can you tell me how you became interested in the church and in becoming an Episcopal priest?
Sure. So, I grew up in a home where my mother's father came from an Orthodox Jewish family. My dad came from a family that belonged to several Protestant denominations. But I wasn't raised in the church. We went to a Unitarian church in San Diego for a couple of years. And honestly, all I really remember is the donuts. And that's why I went. Mm-hmm. When I was 14, I met an amazing woman. And she became a friend and a mentor. And I spent a lot of time with her and I watched her and I watched how she treated other people. I watched how she lived her life. She was an incredibly generous, loving, fun, joyful person. Mm-hmm. And I wanted what she had. And when I was not much older, I started to get leadership opportunities. This mentor invited me to do things like lead a junior high youth group, if you can imagine that. They called it wildlife because it was pretty wild. Anyway, I really enjoyed those opportunities, and I started to feel a sense of call to ordained ministry, but I'd never seen a woman pastor or priest, and it wasn't until I got to the Episcopal Church much later that I saw women up front.
And what year was it that the Episcopal Church started ordaining women?
1977.
So then, yeah, did that feel really new to see that?
I was, by the time I got to the Episcopal Church in the 90s, the timing was quite good. I did have one woman, one of my neighbors was hanging literature on my door about why women shouldn't be ordained. But other than that, I was very fortunate. There was a first generation of women, like in any profession, who were just the trailblazers, and they had a heck of a time. Sometimes people walked out while they were celebrating or presiding at the Eucharist. They had to be tough. And when I got there, I've never had trouble. I was the first rector at my last church.
And rector is basically the same as priest, or?
Rector is the head of the church.
Okay.
So we have a lot of really fancy words in the Episcopal Church. But yes, the rector is kind of the head of the church. And you might have other priests on staff or deacons, but you're kind of the CEO,
right,
so to speak, of the church.
But fair to say you're also a priest and you would also give sermons and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sermons, pastoral counseling. I'm always clear that I'm not a trained therapist,
right,
but a spiritual friend. One thing I've loved about ordained ministry is you're kind of a jack or Jill of all trades. I mean, one minute you're writing sermons and studying theology, the next moment you're changing rolls of toilet paper or removing mold. You know, you end up kind of having to do a lot of things, and no day is the same. You're running a small business, mm-hmm, on one hand, and you've got to make your budget, and you have staff, and you want to take care of them. But more than that, you're trying to invite people into a whole way of life. Some priests and pastors I know don't want to see what people are giving in churches. I always did, because it really helped me get a spiritual temperature on how people were doing. Just so much could be going on that felt like very important information to have access to.
Did they know that they were being tracked individually?
I can't say that they all did. They would know that the treasurer would know everything they gave and the bookkeeper who was sending out the forms, but I hope I conveyed that I was looking at that information. But they knew that at least a couple people were.
And so did you say to them sometimes, hey, I noticed that your giving went down. What, you know, is everything okay? Or did you not actually mention that that was why you were maybe opening a conversation with them?
Yeah, I would try in the best ways possible to approach them in a pastoral conversation to find out how they were doing and were they okay financially. We had a lot of people in our own congregation who were suffering financially. And so under the leadership of one of my senior wardens, we started something called the Acts 2 Fund. And anybody in the church could get a one-time gift of up to $2,500 given very quietly and confidentially. Sometimes when there was severe hardship, I would help someone with more.
As listeners to this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds has the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet. But you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now. Musora is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out. And then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Broken Record? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of Musora, to inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to Musora.com, Musora.com, to start a new musical journey today.
I have to say, I'm kind of surprised to hear that you tracked individually what your parishioners gave, because I think a lot of people, myself included, have this idea of giving at church as like, you know, just you give whatever you can, like no judgment, no one's counting. Yeah, you don't think about, oh, this is going into a spreadsheet and like next to my name is like a number and someone's looking at that and not necessarily treating me differently, but there's some analysis of it. I'm just surprised to hear it.
I think it's actually really important for me to know, because Martin Luther, the theologian, once said that human beings need to experience three types of conversion: conversion of heart, conversion of mind, and conversion of purse. We want to kind of disembody spirituality from material things, but that's not actually the Christian faith. The Christian faith is an embodied faith. We always say it's incarnational. Jesus came as a person. God came as a person, and everything around us, material things are important and they're good, but how they're used is important as well. Are they used for good purposes? So use of money, tithing, it's the church has a mission and a purpose and a vision. And for that to happen, it takes money as well as time and talent. So I think a lot of people see things the way you do, Maya, but I think if you really want to know how someone's doing spiritually, you would look at their checkbook, or I guess we'd have to say now their Venmo account, how we steward our money, what we spend on. That just says so much about us.
This topic is so interesting to me, like the intersection of money and religion. Mm-hmm. Like I could go on. You should see my question list. It's like,
your questions are great.
My understanding of being an Episcopal priest, my understanding was there is this tension of you're not really supposed to want or need a lot of money. At the same time, you're basically a therapist for so many people at 3 a.m. or it's not necessarily okay for you to want to get paid more for that. But at the same time, you're a human in this world trying to pay your bills and have needs and wants. So I'm wondering, did you have imbalances in terms of your own personal needs and wants?
Yeah, that can feel really awkward. I remember my first job out of seminary, I wasn't paid very much. We got housing, which was helpful, although we got the building that had been condemned.
You're like, welcome to the
show. Yeah.
We value your work so much.
Yes, you get the condemned building. Yes, but yeah, the compensation did not feel fair.
How much were you paid monetarily in that job?
I was paid 20,000 something. Mm-hmm. And
this is what year?
This was 2000.
Okay.
When I first started at St. Matthew's, my salary was low for what I was doing and my position. I don't think there was any malice there. I just think it's a matter of education and they don't know. And you can actually get a hold of salary ranges for clergy and all church positions, organists, youth leaders, you name it. The Church Pension Fund, which is an Episcopal organization, puts out salary ranges for years of service that they believe are fair. And they do kind of nationwide surveys. But there was one point where the vestry, which is the governing body of the church, during one of my final years there, really wanted to compensate me, to give me a significant raise for the work that I was doing in the church. Numbers were up, giving were up, just some neat things were happening. It wasn't just me. And I actually said no because I wanted to have staff and I didn't feel that it was fair for me to be getting a raise that was so much more than the raise my staff would be getting.
And can you give a sense of like how much were you making and how much of a bonus did they want to give you or a raise?
Yeah, I was making about $90,000 and they wanted to give me, they suggested, it wasn't approved, but it was thrown out about a 5% mm-hmm. raise. And I said no, because that's so much more than anybody else is getting. And it just doesn't feel right. Everybody else is mm-hmm. working hard too. You know, of course, I was the CEO, so I was taking on more responsibility than anybody on the staff. But at the same time, that didn't feel right.
How much money do you make?
I make just a little over $90,000 a year.
Do you feel like there is a lower limit and an upper limit to how much priests should be paid? And if so, like a dollar amount?
You know, that's really, it's a great question. It's hard to place that dollar amount. In 2005, the bottom amount was about $54,000 for a full-time rector. And that's what they paid me. I said, could I please be paid what I was paid, at least be paid what I was paid in my last job? And that can go way up, but it really depends. And I think increasingly churches are not going to be able to afford to compensate their clergy what they're worth. Again, we're not doing this for the paycheck, but I also believe we should be fairly compensated, if at all possible.
Who is ultimately in charge of the finances? And then are there checks and balances on that person or the system? Are there audits that are publicly available?
Sure. So in the Episcopal Church, historically, in many churches, there's been something called the vestry. They are all lay leaders from the church. They are elected by the church, by members of the church every year, 9 to 12 people. And in the Episcopal Church, the vestry has a lot of power and they have the ultimate say on the budget and of the building.
And are the vestry members all professionally trained accountants, or is it possible that they don't have any financial training?
I would try to recruit with other vestry members, people from a variety of backgrounds, but we always wanted to make sure that we had people with a business background. And there's also a treasurer position, and I was blessed to have a treasurer who is a partner at KPMG.
KPMG, the big accounting firm.
Yes. Okay. So he was amazing, and our financial reports were stellar. And he actually is able to translate everything in these reports in layman's terms, which was just great. He is incredible. He's still working there. But We try to have people of a variety of backgrounds, gifts, skills. So not everybody has a background in business. But I think that makes for a really good mix, good tension. They put together and do a lot of discernment around the budget, soliciting information from each ministry area and the congregation. And then we would just talk about it for months. But then finally, the vestry would vote on the budget. They would present it at the annual meeting. And anybody could ask questions, and people did. But they also knew that the budget was already decided upon. So it's a really serious responsibility.
So that's so interesting. So I guess it's the power of the purse. I mean, like anyone who has control over finances in any organization really has a lot of the power. And so it sounds like these are mostly lay people who get elected by other members, and they can decide your salary, right?
Yes. Yes, they decide all the salaries.
And can you push back against them?
I could.
Can anyone push back against them?
Yes. And they know all kinds of things, like in any business, but again, it's also the church. There would be job reviews, feedback. Then usually a sub-team of the vestry would start to put all those numbers together from those different reports and reflections, ministry heads would put together, and then they'd start to put together the budget. But you're right, in the Episcopal Church, the vestry has a lot of power. The only thing I had the last word on was worship in our canons or laws.
And now, were the vestry's reports, any of their financial statements, the budgets, just their accounting of how much money is coming in and going out, was any of that audited by an independent auditor?
So what we do, what a lot of churches do, is we would do audits with teams from other churches and staff from the diocese. There's a woman who oversees kind of the financial aspect of all our churches. And then every couple of years, you'd want to have a professional audit done.
From someone who's not affiliated with the church.
Yes, yes. And anyone, we developed an open books policy, so anybody at any time, we really wanted to always be transparent, and so anybody who had any kind of question about finances could either see the minutes, the vestry minutes, could see the books, could come to vestry meetings. Every vestry meeting is open. We tried to be very transparent.
As listeners to this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds has the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet. But you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards, a hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is Accelerating Innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now. Musora is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out. And then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Broken Record? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of Musora, to inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to musora.com, M-U-S-O-R-A.com, to start a new musical journey today.
Do you have to pay taxes the same way that I
normally? Yeah. So okay. It's very, taxes are so interesting. My clergy, this is really bizarre, but clergy are taxed as independent business people. So we're taxed in a high bracket. And then we have all these deductions, like you can deduct the fair rental value of your home, furniture, you can deduct cleaning products. It's just bizarre. I just thought, put me in a lower bracket.
So you're not considered on staff of a business? You're considered your own business?
I am taxed as an independent business person when my husband and I are preparing our taxes. And so it's a very high rate, which is crazy. But then there are all these deductions. The biggest one is the fair rental value of your home, furniture.
And that's even if you're not renting?
That is if you own your home.
Right. Do you own your home?
I do. Yes.
How did you afford it?
So when my husband and I were first married, we couldn't afford a home. And we lived, as I mentioned, in the rectory. And then for my second call, which is in Northern Virginia, which is a really expensive area, we were very fortunate in that we found a condo. Mm-hmm. And an announcement was made that the metro was going to go out to our suburb. The price of our condo tripled in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And there was a bidding war on our condo. The housing prices were high, but not anything like Northern Virginia. So we were able to buy a home here.
How much did you buy the condo in Virginia for? And then
it was $180,000. Mm-hmm. Then the house here was about $300,000.
Do you have debt now?
Yes. Yes, I do. And
from the house?
Yes. Yeah, I do. But I just, debt is... that is something that I really want to minimize. And again, I will not buy things or do things that I don't have the money for.
But are there moments where you're like, gosh darn it, I want to afford a XYZ?
Sure.
Yeah. How do you deal with those moments? And do you ever feel like there's a tension there?
You know, we all have our priorities. I want to be very generous with my money. I want to give a lot of money away to the church and to the organizations I believe in. And I want to have a safe car. I have a relative who was a pediatrician specialized in a childhood disease that was pretty rare but devastating to the children who had it and their families. And people came to work with him from all over the world. Somebody ran a stop sign, crashed into his car. He was just impaired physically, developed dementia from the blow to the head, died at a young age. I've just known a lot of people in car crashes, and I'm on the road all the time. So for me, I want a safe car. But there is, you're right, there is that tension there. And so I think each of us has to decide, you know, what are our priorities and values. And for me, in addition to stewarding things for others, stewarding resources that I have for others, I also believe that I need to take good care of myself if I'm going to help other people. For me, that's taking care of this body that I've been given. So
do you have anything that you splurge on that you don't have a sort of wholesome justification for?
That is a great question. I love to eat out. I love really good food and desserts and good wine. I'm at this really neat place in life where I have my dream job. My son's a sophomore in college, and the minute I told my husband that I was pregnant, he went in and started like doing numbers on a spreadsheet to see how much we'd have to put away all along to pay for college.
That spreadsheet your husband created once you got pregnant, did it work? Wait, so did you afford are you affording your kids' college out of pocket?
We are, but we didn't do it alone. Every Christmas, birthday, you name it, all of our family members would contribute to that college fund.
Did you ask them to or invite them to, or did they just instinctively?
They did that. In both my family and my husband's family, there is a tradition of doing everything you can to give your child the gift of a college education, or at least paying for as much as you can. And I benefited from that. I want to pass that on to Luke. And it was very moving. My son wasn't always happy when he might get a Christmas or birthday present, which was a check for his college tuition and nothing else. But we really dedicated ourselves to trying to make that happen.
Blair, thank you so much for talking with me today. It's been such a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure to have this conversation with you, Maya.
Thanks for listening to Other People's Pockets. And hey, favor, if you like this show, please tell a friend and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Other People's Pockets is written and hosted by me, Maya Lau. It's produced by me along with Joy Sanford and Dan Gallucci. Production help from Angela Vang. Our executive producers are me along with Jane Marie and Dan Gallucci. A special thanks to Financial Audits. Other People's Pockets is a co-production of Pushkin Industries and Little Everywhere. To find more Pushkin podcasts, listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love this show, consider subscribing to Pushkin Plus, offering bonus content and ad-free listening across our network for $4.99 a month. Look for the Pushkin Plus channel on Apple Podcasts or at pushkin.fm. You can sign up for Pushkin newsletters at pushkin.fm. Find me on Twitter at Maya Lau or on Instagram and TikTok at It's Maya Money. And one more thing, OPP listeners, we want to hear your feedback about this show and whether it's inspired you to do anything differently with your money. And also, what was your favorite episode? Leave us a voicemail at 323-540-4255. That's 323-540-4255. Or record a voice memo and send it to otherpeoplespockets@gmail.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.